Blog Talk Radio.
All right, back again. Happy Mother's Day to all. I'm your host, Marvin. Of course, you can label me as a magician, and I got my boy, Mr. Lou Matic. What's up, bro?
The heat is what's up.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Of course, I know, for those who don't know, Mr. Lou is experiencing some technical difficulties. Need some Freon in the tank there to get that thing going. But, you know, practically that's what we've been noticing anyway. The temperatures is getting closer to summertime. We live in the sunny state of Florida, central Florida, that is, you know, right in the median there, Orlando area. And we tell you, summertime sometimes feels like it starts in early March. You know, this year, winter was a little bit extended, and we did get blessed with a few, you know, breezy days. But, man, once April hits the corner, towards the end of that, it starts to get heated up, and it's like a big furnace. So we are hot, but that's why we have the AC blasting, but then we look at the bill, and then it hurts. So we can't help it. We must live with it. It is definitely an issue. But as far as we know, a lot of things to get into this great Mother's Day. We want to go ahead and wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. You know, hopefully you gave flowers and chocolates, and maybe I went out, saw movies, you know, things of that nature. If you're in a relationship or whether it's your mom, you want to pay homage to all the mothers. And, of course, this is really the only holiday for parents that really matters anyway. We all know how everybody feels about Father's Day, basically just a day. It's typical of what, you know, the economy or basically what the nation feels about the roles in society. Fathers don't get much credit. As of the past, I don't know what, 20 years? So it's the way it is. What we deal with, we live with it because we're men. But obviously, we would like some appreciation. But I'm not going to steal the spotlight. Give it to the women. Happy Mother's Day. And we can go ahead and start the show. Lou, what do you got on the docket today?
Well, had an interesting weekend of NBA, first of all, and two games ending with game winners, and both of them were bank shots.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, we have the Bulls.
Go ahead, tuck.
Chicago comes through, and I think it was game three. Derrick Rose hits a bank shot three-pointer. I think it was a three, or maybe his foot was on the line on the two. So he hit it up the middle, which put them ahead in the series. And on the other side of things, we have the Washington and the Atlanta game where Paul Pierce hits a bank shot to win the game. Now, that game I'm getting into first, because that game was kind of interesting, because we thought heading into the game it was going to be kind of a grind, a struggle for the Wizards, being that John Wall isn't ready to play yet. And I pretty much pictured it was going to be a game where they were going to grind it out and, you know, pull it out at the end. Well, they did pull out at the end, but the funny part about it is they were pretty much in control of the game. They had Atlanta up by like 20 points at one point in the game, and then the lead started to dwindle down. They started losing that lead, and it came down to a last-second shot. So they have it. They have the ability to beat Atlanta. I think they're going to win in this series, but they can't have a situation like that happen again. And it's a situation like that where they need someone like John Wall to control things, especially defensively, because they could have a big lead going, but they still don't have Wall there, and you're going to need him there to contain Jeff Teague whenever he gets going.
And, boy, he almost did. And I tell you, Atlanta made a real, you know, strive and a hard run. And I got to just be honest with you, you know, it just wasn't enough. Paul Pierce hits that jumper. And, see, that is what Atlanta's missing. That is what makes or gives, you know, the Washington Wizards a little bit of an edge moving forward in this series because they have a player like him. Let's just be real. That guy is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players, top 50 players of all time in my book. I think he might fall into place maybe around 35, somewhere around there in my book. He might could be higher if I was to really, you know, analyze it somewhat better. It's just that his presence brings, you know, puts everybody else in the mindset to be aggressive and figure out a way to win. That's just like the element that they was missing last year. You know, we saw the potential and what they could do when they faced off against Indiana and they beat the Bulls out with Bradley Beal, John Wall, you know, Gortat, and, you know, Laine and that team together. Now with Paul Pierce there to have that veteran presence, so now he seems like he's a starter, right? The way he's been balling in the playoffs, he ought to be starting. And I tell you, Atlanta's not a slouch team. You know, we keep forgetting Atlanta won 60 games. That's the best team, with the best record in the Eastern Conference this season. And you look at what Washington's doing with all the injuries and the issues. And look at this guy has fractures all in his hand, can't really use it. And they're still finding a way to overcome this situation. They're up 2-1. And it's like, hey, man, you know, what do you do at this particular point? It's like, I don't know what else they can do. They can't be more depleted, and they still are unable to, you know, to put this team away. And we see it. We bear witness to it. And it, so, you know, it's going to have to come to a point where they're going to need to figure something out to keep that team off balance and possibly have an opportunity to win because it's, I mean, you cannot give the Wizards any opportunity because, to me, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. Right now. And we'll see how it matches up when they get to the next round. But we'll see. We'll take a look. But that's primarily what I think. Like you say, Lou, they need, you know, even if he can just come in, that's his presence alone and what it would do for that team. Because T can go off at any moment. Like, he started. Him and Korver started to get a little bit hot there. You know what I mean? Towards the end, they made that run, and it was like, uh-oh, watch out. It's coming. Here comes the storm. And Horford balled out, and it just was not enough. And, you know, I would say Pierce is what helped put that team over the stack there, his presence and his boldness and what he was able to do. So I'm with you wholeheartedly with that. Looking at the other game, and, you know, I've been waiting all day to get to this, the Ever game. Because, see, this is the thing. And, you know, we have a friend, and I'm going to put him on blast real quick and real simply. Just put him right in check. And I just wanted to say, but, like, I saw Thursday was a Friday night, and we saw that Derrick Rose hit this game-winning shot. And, of course, everybody on Twitter and everybody on Facebook and a lot of the people that know me started to get, oh, Derrick Rose and start saying, oh, the buzz, oh, you know, the Bulls are going to finally beat Cleveland and LeBron. And you remember what I said? Hold your brakes. Ease up. Ease up for a second. You're running too fast here. See, because I know what's going on and how it's going to go down. Listen, the Cavaliers came in, right, played an excellent, wonderful defensive game. Everybody else struggled. I don't know what's going on with Joakim Noah. This guy just cannot seem to do anything. It's like he's basically has struggled so mightily in this series. It's like it's very scary. He's not giving them much of offensive output whatsoever. Does he bring hustle to the game? Yeah, he does, but let's be real about it, Lou, right? You know, he needs to produce in another way. So if he can't continue to do it himself, you know, Rose is starting to come back and look very formidable right now. I can't even lie to you. He's actually putting up a great fight, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. And to be quite honest, as we say, you know, in order to beat somebody who is a champion, you got to do more. It's just not enough. Mirtik, what I was seeing from him early on, he's struggling. He doesn't look too good at all. Aaron Brooks, I don't know what's going on with him. I just don't. He needs to give some quality points. And Kurt Heinrich, man, I think he's about done. I think he's finished. I think he has what it takes. So they've got to figure this thing out, because I don't think they're going to beat Cleveland. With all the injuries and with everything that is going on with them, Kevin Love, what's going on with Iman Shumpert and his struggles with the injury. He didn't have much of a good game either, but you look at that starting five, man. Mozgov, Thompson, Irvin, they all came through. And Irvin's been struggling from the field. I mean, his shooting percentage isn't that great. It hasn't been that great. But look, they find ways to win. J.R. Smith has been a lightning rod. And remember when the Bulls had an opportunity to put their foot on Cleveland's neck in Cleveland? They could have been up two games to nothing had they, you know, put their foot on the gas. And here they are tied up. And Cleveland has all the momentum going back to Cleveland. Doesn't look good. And like I said, before you get too happy, slow your brakes and look at what's going on. And that's basically what we've been saying for majority of the year. They don't have it. There's something missing on that team. And it's quite evident of what he said, you know. And people, it's funny how they switch out. You know, just the other day, the Bulls were winning the championship. All of a sudden today, certain people, oh, well, you know, LeBron, man, I knew he could do it. It's like, just the other day, you was about to split your wrist. Just the other day. Now, here it is. Now, he's switching up everything. So I don't know what to think of that, but to state that, Lou, I mean, go ahead. That's basically what I mean.
Yeah. Through the game, like really towards the end, they're making a lot of mistakes offensively and defensively. It's like offensively, there's a lot of poor passing, like a lot of lazy passing, especially a few from Gibson. And defensively, Jimmy Butler was making bad, you know, judgment as far as like where he was going to position himself playing on LeBron, especially towards the end. Like when LeBron drove the lane and got baseline underneath, and they had like put 1.5 seconds left on the clock, I think he should have just stayed riding on him on the side. But he was doing that, and then I guess he was anticipating them like switching over, going to the middle, and that would have led LeBron to get underneath the basket. And then when it came down to the final play where LeBron hit the game winner, Jimmy fell asleep. That's all. He fell asleep. And yes, he was, I don't know why, but he was anticipating LeBron to like go to the middle or like go to the middle and faint to go pop out to the top of the key. But LeBron easily just fainted and went down the baseline. And shot Jay and made it. So,
yeah, big time hit. I mean, he doesn't have many last second shots, but let me tell you, within the last 2 minutes, he's pretty clutch to me. I think he makes big plays down the stretch. Ever since he, like, that second year in Miami, he's been making big plays towards the end of games when they need him. And he's shown up. And it's just... Yep. Been an actual, you know, precursor and an exclamation point on who he is as a superstar. You know, when it's all said and done, he will be in the upper echelon. He's already there now. But, you know, what he's doing and the way he's bringing this team together and everywhere he goes, notice how great the team is. Once he leaves, you see what happens to the team. So that lets you know how really good he actually is. And I got to say, you know, 2-2 on the Bulls heading to Cleveland. I got to say, the advantage is there. And let me tell you, I said this series would end in six games. And I think Cleveland, they'll win that game in Cleveland. And I think they'll close them out in Chicago. And if they don't close them out in Chicago, they'll close them out in Cleveland. So the worst I see is a seven-game series for the Cavs. But I'm saying six. So I'm saying Chicago's not going to win another game. And I could be wrong, but I doubt it. I mean, the Tiger always wears his stripes. That's basically my way of thinking on the whole situation of matter. So that's what I gather. So, you know, looking into the other conference, Lou, you see what's going on here with the Clippers, the Rockets, and even bigger, what's going on in the other game between Memphis and Golden State. Start off with one of those, and let's see what we can come up with. Because to me, I'm seeing some interesting things. And I think you know, there was a prediction that I said early in the series that I think is starting to become a reality. Like, it's starting to bear itself out. So,
we'll start with the Clippers. And we have, it looks like somebody's alive now. I say a lot, I'm talking about Austin Rivers.
break it down some more, Lou. I mean, get into it. Because that was a big gamble.
Yeah, it was. It was a big gamble. And Austin has really, he has stepped up. He has stepped up a couple of games, you know, in this series. But it looks like he's finally, you know, getting his niche into it. Now, also on top of that, let me try to bring up the box score here. Yeah. And also, J.J. Redick was big in the game, too. He had, like, 31 points.
Yeah. He's been real big.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the factor with this Clippers team. If you have J.J. Redick playing a game like that and get something productive out of Austin, then they are going to be a difficult team to beat. So with J.J. Redick putting up 31, that pretty much, you know, wraps it up. And the funny thing, it was a close game. It was a close game through, you know, all the way up till
3.5 quarters, yeah.
Yeah, 3.5 quarters. Then I don't know what happened. It's like Houston just fell asleep. It's like they let the Clippers get on the roll and they never recovered back from it.
And, you know, it's so crazy how sometimes turnovers can make a big part in a situation. But, you know, you look at it. They dusted them, I think, by 25 points. They were 124 to 99, I think it was. If I'm correct, I could be wrong. But I think that was the score. And early on in the game, like you said, it was very close. And every time you turn around, the Clippers were just turning the ball over. But then all of a sudden, they turned it on, and the Rockets start turning the ball over. And, you know, Howard didn't show up, come off as aggressive as he needed to. He only took 11 shots the whole game. And a lot of those shots came in the first 3.5 quarters. After that, it just started kind of laid out. I mean, Harden did what he did. Terry looked impressive. I would have liked to see him get some looks. You know, Terry Jones basically didn't really do nothing or didn't do enough. Ariza struggled. You looked at the bench, you know, Josh Smith gave you a little bit of something, but that was about it. Him and Corey Brewer, right? Everybody else was like, man, 0 for this, 0 for that. It was terrible. So, you know, you have to maintain a certain level of intensity against this team. And, you know, basically what I'm saying is starting to come true. Remember, Lou, when I said the winner out of this San Antonio Clippers series, and I picked the Clippers in 7, I believe it's possibly the best team outside of Golden State. And right now, maybe they are the best team. Because I tell you, I watched what the Rockets are doing, and that's still a good team. It's just the Clippers are a better team right now. I mean, Austin Rivers, and J.J. Redick, man, that backcourt together, them two was, like, killing everybody. They just go there. Redick scored, I mean, like 20-some points. I know, like you said, Redick scored 31, but I know Austin was up there in the 20s.
Yeah, he had 25.
25 points.
Yeah.
Guy was on fire, so you just look at what he contributed, man. He basically, he shot like a high percentage from the field, and he's basically taking those high percentage shots, 50% from three-point land, I believe it was. I was getting all kinds of, you know, seeing and watching some of the feedback, but it was just pretty much a wrap once that came in. And this doesn't show up on, you know, a lot of the scores or the box scores, what Glenn Davis brings when he comes in onto the court. Like, he brings a level of intensity, you know what I mean? Like, he comes in there, and he starts shaking guys up. He starts being aggressive. And it's like, man, it's like a big-time pinball. You know, he's just bouncing off everybody in there. And they, you know, when he comes in, they go to a whole level of energy when he comes in.
Yeah,
you know, very solid. So I see that, but you know, and Chris Paul, I'm glad to see. You know, he wasn't as strong this game, but it's like he didn't need to be. He could actually rest a little bit because of what's going on between Redick and Rivers. And of course, we can't forget Crawford. Those three, man, they bring, you know, it makes things look really good, really well, man. I was very impressed. What I saw, what they've done to the Rockets, and I don't expect, you know, too much of a difference. Like, I think they're going to take this Rockets series. I think I did say six, but it might take them in five. I think that right there was a smashing hit, what they delivered to the Rockets. It was an absolutely smash. It was damning. I mean, it was. And then we go on and look at what's going on with Golden State. My bad, I knew you had something to add. I didn't mean to. Go ahead, my man.
I was going to say, this is what we were expecting from Austin Rivers coming out of college. You know, this is the game we expected to see him play with New Orleans, you know, the Winter Park High School and Duke, Austin Rivers. So if he could continue this, they're going to be real tough to beat. And it's so funny that I think Austin was at a point to where he could have been out the league. I mean, that's how far gone, you know, his game was.
Oh, his father was the saving grace. And see, it's proved to you that his father was right. Sometimes, you know, certain players need to fall with a certain kind of coach. And they fall into a person who's going to respect or understand their skill or talent level. And, yeah, you got to give him props. I mean, since he's came to that roster and in the playoffs, he's been big time. I mean, he did pretty solid job against the Spurs. And then here we go now against the Rockets. And he's shining. He's definitely delivering on a big scale and on a big level. So sometimes coaching is really what is all required. People don't wish to realize that a lot of times. Sometimes players come in, they might not be successful based on the coach. I mean, he went to New Orleans and basically was a developmental league kind of player. Like they got rid of him. And it's like he didn't, you know, he probably didn't get an opportunity to do or execute plays at his best or the height of his level in. Look now, he's playing with his props, and he's shoot. Of course, the great Doc Rivers is looking like a genius. He knows his son better than anybody else, and he knows how to put him in situations to succeed, and that's what he's doing.
Yep.
So, you know, we see it, and then you look at what's going on in the other game, man, what's going on with the Golden State Warriors and Memphis. I mean, they're out physically, you know, Golden State, they're putting the pressure and the screws to them. They're breaking them down. They're playing them so tough and physical. It's like they don't know what to do. Them boys are being pestered. I mean, Allen is really just shutting down that perimeter. They're not able to shake them, causing turnovers.
Yep.
Left and right, left and right.
Allen's shutting it down on the perimeter. Him and Conley is controlling the perimeter on defense. And right from the start of the game, they go straight to Zach Randolph down low against Draymond Green. Just kept feeding him, kept attacking. And that's pretty much how this series is going to go from here on out. Now that they got Conley back, they got the backcourt under control. The front line can do whatever they want. Zach could be physical and grind it out. Pau Gasol could do the same thing. So Golden State, they're in trouble right now. They're in trouble, and they need help. You know, David Lee isn't playing now, and they need big help. And the person that's going to do that for them is Iguodala. Iguodala needs to be on the court a lot and get a lot of attempts for him.
You see, he was the guy I always liked for Philadelphia because he's the X factor. He's one of those guys that can just explode. He can give you a quick burst, you know, of offense. And, you know, I watched this game. You know, Golden State was getting destroyed, really. It was getting really mismatched and out physical. They made it a game late in the game. They got the game within 5 points. But at that particular point, they didn't have enough steam. Take them over the top, and they fell. And even though they ended up scoring a good portion of the point, you know, it just wasn't enough. And let me tell you who's been a disappointment. And people don't, you know, everybody hears, you know, Stephen A. Smith makes fun of him. Man, what's going on with Andrew Bogut? Like, you know, you can't be successful. You can't do what you need to do with a person that size to only give you 2 points. You can't do that. He has to absolutely show up. I mean, it's bad, Lou.
Yeah, he's got to have something going. He has to have something going down there, especially offensively, and try to take the pressure off of Thompson and Curry so they get more open looks.
Thinking, man, maybe they need to sit him down. And let Spikes come in because he's been producing a whole lot more with less time. I've seen it. What I'm seeing from Bogut, man, is no good. I mean, you're only taking up 4 attempts. You're paying 22 minutes on the court. You're 7+ feet. You can only put in 2 points. That sounds like Roy Hibbert number. can't win that way.
Well, but David Lee's not playing, so they have to have a body on the court. Spikes can't do it by himself. And that's the drawback.
It is. I tell you so. I mean, what do you think they need to do tonight in order to go ahead and even this match up? Is it tonight they play or tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. But they need, like I said, they need Iguodala. They need him. He played like 27 minutes last game. You got to give him more minutes than that. You got to give him more minutes and, you know, more touches out there because he can do what he does defensively. He's a good defensive player, especially at position. He could play, you know, shooting guard and small forward. So he could help out big time there. But you need to have him on the court more. You need to have him on the court more and also Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston could also help him out as well. And being that he's a point guard, pretty much a 6'8" point guard, and his length has really helped out against Conley. But
yeah, I think he has that size advantage. Allen is really shutting him in. Allen's really shutting that perimeter down. And, you know, I watched Conley. Conley has some guts, man. This guy took a charge with a broken face, basically, man. The guy came all the way in the paint. And he took the charge and was like a trooper. You know what I mean? But I tell you, they need to figure out something here, Lou. I'm thinking, man, you need to put Bogut down. Get Spike some more minutes. Because Bogut's not doing anything. I agree with the Livingston situation. Kind of cycle him out between Thompson and Steph Curry, between those two staying in and staying out. Cycle them in some kind of way. Iguodala, listen, I love Draymond Green. I would probably have them switch minutes. That's just me. I think Green is just, I don't know, he hasn't looked good against at all against Memphis. And maybe you got to start dividing that time a little bit more with Iguodala because,
yeah,
you know, Green has been struggling bad. Like, I don't know, man. It's super.
They need to get something going.
They
got to get something going quick, and especially get it going quick before Jeff Green finds his niche. When he finds his way around with this team, it's going to be a wrap.
Bro, I think they pretty much locked it. Man, they got another game at home. I mean, they're down 2-1. Golden State is in a must-win situation. They must win. It is. They cannot afford to lose. They have to win, or it's over.
Yeah.
You know. We'll definitely see moving forward, you know, what's going to happen. I know Steph Curry, but it is with those guys. They're going to have to stop turning the ball over, too. I mean, you can't turn the ball over against Memphis and expect to win. And,
yeah,
you know, they've been struggling with that. Steph had 4 turnovers. Klay Thompson had 3. And, of course, Draymond Green, who's struggling on the offensive side of the ball, too, had 5 turnovers. As a team, they had 17. And I just don't think you can beat a team like Memphis with that many turnovers. They just defensively, they will shut you down. They don't have an answer for Marcus Gasol. Zach Randolph is teeing off. I mean, Conley, the energy he's bringing to the game. Courtney Lee, I thought he was on the bench, but then you look at Jeff Green and all that defensive pressure that this guy and him and Allen is like bringing. They, you know, I tell you, causing issues, man.
Yep. And they still
they need to fix that.
And don't sleep on Vince either. Vince still could come out there and put some offensive power in there as well.
Man, didn't he like show out in one of those games? Was it game 2? I think he showed out. He looked impressive. And you know, he's always gonna give you, and he's not even playing that many minutes. And he can do some damage. Any given night, he might hit you with a 20 spot. Like, you watch him, man. It's like, boy, that guy's really good. The potential. Does Vince make it to the Hall of Fame? Does he?
Nah, too many injuries.
That's sad. Because he definitely has the ability. Him and Tracy McGrady.
Mm-hmm.
McGrady's going to not make it for a different reason, though. Leadership. That's the sad thing. Leadership is basically possibly more than likely going to keep him out of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Sadness.
Yep.
Sometimes the intangibles are the things that take you over the edge.
Yeah, that's always been McGrady's problem, you know, coming into the league. Everybody knew that.
They did, and it's true. It's funny how, like, when you look at Chauncey Billups, that's exactly what's going to get him into the league. That right there is exactly what's going to get him in because he has high, high intangible, high leadership. That guy's leadership is going to put him in the Hall of Fame if he does make it. And I think he'll have a great chance to do so.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. But moving out of the NBA, going into the NFL, of course, the big topic going into the weekend was this whole issue with Deflategate and Tom Brady and how the Wells report pretty much exposed a lot of what was going on between some of the employees and Tom Brady. Had some text that he wasn't forthcoming and sharing with the NFL investigative team. And listen, the reality is, man, look, it doesn't take a really rocket scientist or a genius to figure out what went on here. He obviously knew that, you know, he had the ball set to a certain level. The thing is with me is, why are you not coming out telling the truth? And when I say tell the truth, listen, you don't even have to tell the full truth. All you have to do is say, yeah, you know, I was instructing him to light my balls air at a certain level. I didn't know he was going to, and you know, take it to the limit that he took it to. I just expected him to take some out to just make it comfortable for me. He could have easily just said that.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
and this whole thing would have been dead by now.
Yeah, it would have.
You know, he goes over there with, yeah, you know,
I mean, that's,
it absolutely would have.
Something that simple, it would have, everything would have died out. He would have got a fine or whatever a little small punishment it was, and that would have been it. All you could have counted and say, yeah, like the ball's inflated to, you know, this certain amount, even though it may not be, you know, the legal standard of how the ball should be kept. And, you know, you say, yo, this is just how I like the balls to be. This is how I have them, like, for practice, you know, and stuff like that during games. That's all you had to say.
You know, that's all it really had to be, man. You know, you figured this is the easy thing to deal with. And it's like he's making it he's dragging it out, making it worse than what it actually is. It's like, come on, man. We're talking about deflated football, somebody able to grip the ball better to throw. Come on, it's not that big of a deal if you ask me. Is it a big deal according to the rules? Yes, they got to do something about it. It's like one of those things, okay, if your son or your child goes to school, you know, they basically created notes, and they had notes laying out, and they just kind of looked at the answer and covered their hands so the teacher wouldn't catch it, and now they got caught. Okay, I mean, are you going to give him a spanking for that? No, not necessarily. Does he go on punishment for 1 or 2 days? Okay, reasonable, right? But at least admit it. It's caught already. I mean, he's sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even acknowledging, you know, to the rest of the world, like, hey, you know, I got to let it digest. What is there to digest, man? I mean, you knew what was happening. You knew what you did. You knew what you expected. Just own up to it at this particular point. And, it just makes him look bad. And I'm a Tom Brady fan. You know, most people don't like to admit they really don't like Tom Brady. And it's not necessarily just because of him himself. It's because of, you know, hey, he has a supermodel wife. You know, he has $1 million. He has the good looks. You know, everybody's really jealous of him to a certain degree or a certain extent, right? You hate the fact that he's really just so successful and that he can be so tall and get all these different things and get these special rules set out for him and nobody else can. That's what it really boils down to.
Yep.
So, you know, we're around here, we're sitting and we're constituting, you know, issuing our own, you know, train of thought and our own comment. But the reality is, you know, he's making himself look bad. That's just the bottom line. You did it. You know you did it. So just say you did. Get it over with. And you know a penalty is going to come because this is also not an issue against Tom Brady, but it's an issue for the New England Patriots. Why? Because they've already been caught doing things that give them a competitive edge over everybody else. We already know about Spygate. Now here it is with the balls. You know, we have different cameras. Nobody really loves the Patriot way, right? Let's be real about it. When we step out, we say, man, they always find a way not to pay somebody or get rid of them in their prime or make themselves feel like the organization is above everything else. They don't have a love. Nobody can say this. And then here it is, we find chinks in the armor. And it's gratifying for that reason. But, you know, for whatever reason, I never really liked the way they handle their business when it comes to players and paying them and why why they are unable to just keep a culture as to, like, be more loyal to their players, because the players are expected to be loyal to them. If they mess up, they find a way to get rid of them. That's what they do. So it's just disappointing.
Yeah.
From a standpoint, but I mean, yeah.
It's a mess. And also, it could have been a situation that probably happened, you know, just for that game, you know, against the Colts. You know, he probably liked the ball, like, deflated a little bit. But maybe during that game, it was deflated a little too much to where it was very noticeable. But we won't know now because he's not talking about anything. So now it's to the point, well, could this been happening the whole season? Could this been happening, you know, all the way up to Spygate? So, you see, he put himself in a bad spot now.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he made himself ridiculous. And he did. He, you know, you have this opportunity to really just put a lot of this stuff to bed and just say, hey, listen, you know, no ill feelings toward anything. Yeah, I try to have the balls, you know, had a little bit taken out so it could be more comfortable. What's even funny, even making it worse, though, is like, you know, those balls that were deflated were used in the first half. In the second half, they were the overinflated balls. Those balls he actually did better with in the second half against the Colts. So it's like, come on, man. You know, that's just, it's really, this needs to be made easy. Don't make this thing difficult. It's really easy. Figure this thing out. Talk. Give a genuine opinion. You know, you have an agent going off, oh, yeah, you know, this, that, and come on, man. You're really putting, you're digging a hole deeper for him. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, we all know what's going on. It's not even really, or it shouldn't be that much of a big issue or a big story. But it is, because it's Tom, magnificent Tom Brady. So, and I love Tom Brady. You know, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks, but you can't win. What I also want to get to is, like, man, look at this. You talk about a team that is just born, you know, raising black cats. It's got to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's going on with these guys? Their first-round pick today tore his ACL in minicamp. Like, wow. Like, yeah, he's done. This whole season is finished before it even starts. It's like, I don't know what's wrong with, you know, they don't ever seem to make the, you know, just, I mean, it's a good decision. I mean, you picked them, I guess it could have happened, but it's like that organization, man, it's just, they will never get it right. They have some great talent, ability to draft some great players, and they just didn't do it. If I was them, in the first place, if you really think about it, I would have got, you know, Amari Cooper or somebody of that nature to give to my quarterback, you know, Blake Bortles, who was basically struggled last towards the end of the season throwing turnover because he basically didn't have nobody to throw to. He just didn't. You know, you had Blackman, who basically was out because of, you know, the whole, was it substance abuse situation? Yeah, Cecil Shorts there, and then that's about it. He didn't have nobody else to throw it to. And what do? They just sit here and draft a running back, and they draft a defensive guy, and their defense, you know, created havoc as it is. They could have got somebody in the later round. They should have got a weapon instead of this guy. They get this guy, and now look, now they don't got no use to him or access to him until next season. So, listen, I never did like the GM for them anyway. No, that's the guy that came in and said, hey, you know, we're not going to even take Tim Tebow, even if he is available. When he said that, he ruined it for the whole organization, and it was destined to be doomed and garbage from that same point. He reminds me, that management over there, what's going on with that team and with ownership and all, they remind me of the Bull. You know, just
yeah.
Organization very similar, except at least the Bulls would had to, you know, the sense to hire, like, a legitimate coach, even though they're about to get rid of him, even though he is fantastic. They're going to get rid of him anyway. But it's like they have rings and a championship pedigree thanks to Jordan and Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen and those guys. But they have a tradition of winning based off that situation, so they can afford to make, you know, bad decisions. Where Jacksonville, looks like they haven't been good since Tom Coughlin. Or let's just say Jack Del Rio. It was good with him, and, you know, they had the one quarterback. I forgot his name. Man, the guy that went to the Dolphins and retired, I forgot his name, man. Shoot. It'll come to me another time. But they haven't been good since Jack Del Rio, and they let him go, and ever since they've been in purgatory. They haven't been any good. It's been like a waste of time. So we see this daily, but I mean, your first pick, once again, you should have picked the offensive weapon. No, you picked the defensive guy, and bam, he's injured. Stupid.
They're the new Madden curse.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that franchise is a Madden curse. So, and not to even get into that, we know Broncos pick, you know, they're tied in, basically tore his left ACL. And, you know, that pretty much hurts. And, as you know, they lost Julius Thomas to the Jaguars. But they needed a tight end, and already he's done. So that hurts. But at least you got Peyton Manning, and he'll make anybody a superstar, really. So that's not much of a know, too much of a big deal. But. Mm-hmm. You know what, Lou? On a different note, on the off note here, I'm looking at it, right? LeBron makes the big shot against the Bulls, right? You know, just, and see, that's what I see. You know, these followers, right? They come out, start talking all of this. I didn't hear anything once the Bulls won from Derrick Rose's shot on Friday night. And then now LeBron hits the game-winning shot. Not to say you can't be ecstatic for him, but it's like all these people come out of the woodwork like they just knew that was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, the Cavaliers and, hey, LeBron, you know. I see Skylar Diggins and all these different people. And it's like, yeah, y'all can have your opinion. That's all cool. But, I mean, come on, man. You guys are definitely bandwagoners, front runner. It's like, it's so irritating. You remember back in the day, Lou, when we used to like watch sports and be in athletics, we would have to be loyal to our teams no matter what. And we would be truthful about our teams no matter what. Even if we were loyal, we were truthful, just like me. I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan. I am a Chicago White Sox fan. I am a Chicago Blackhawks fan. Calgary Flames fan. We're talking about 89, 86. I am a definitely Chicago Bulls fan. I'm a Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers fan. You see, these are my teams. And I love my teams. But listen, I'm not foolish about my teams. And I'm not a bandwagoner about my teams. Those will forever be my teams. But listen, I'm not going to support them if they're doing trash, okay? What I'm seeing from the Hurricanes, trash. What I'm seeing from the Bulls, that's trash, okay? What I'm seeing for the Tennessee Titans is trash. Although, I love what they did this draft. They did well this draft. You got Marcus Mariota. You got him a weapon to throw to. And you got a good offensive line and defensive lineman. They did a wonderful draft. Did they get a great coach? They absolutely did. They got Ken Whisenhunt. I like him, and he's great at developing quarterbacks. The only thing they need now is a good running back to go along and complement Mariota, and they might get that in free agency, which I suggest or which I hope that they bring Chris back. But they probably won't. But I think they should because they get a cheap fix for that situation, and it would also make them more dangerous. So I like what they're doing, right? But – listen, I'm not going to sit here like the rest of these clowns out here who are either one way foolish or one way despicable. And what I mean by that, Lou, one way they're going to follow their team and be delusional about what their team is. Right? I can't stand that fan. I can't stand delusional fanatic. He pisses me off. I can't take him. And then on the other hand, I can't stand the bandwagon guy. I despise him more than I despise delusional guy. At least delusional guy is loyal. I can take loyalty. But I can't. The bandwagon guy, oh, Lord. They just go whatever, whoever winning, all of a sudden they become a fan.
Yeah, bandwagon. You know? That's something. Bandwagon thing, I don't like it either, but that's something that's not going to go away in these leagues themselves.
I agree. That's definitely not going to go away, Lou. It's absolutely not. And, you know, we see it. And we pay attention to the nature of the games and how it operates. But, I mean, you know, I'm not going to give them a pass. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, there will always be people like, man, you love pretty much all New England teams, right? You've got the Red Sox. We got the Patriots. We got Boston College. We got UConn. Who else am I missing? And you got the Celtics, right?
Yeah, the Bruins.
I assume it's the Bruins. So that's your team. For as long as I've known you, that's been your team. And, you know, we're coming up on 20 years deep here, right? we might actually we're past 20 years deep. Shoot, Me and my boy Lou Matic here have been friends since we was in like the eighth grade. Since I was in eighth grade. He was in seventh. We're talking like 1980. So, you know, 25 years we're about, right? And all of our close friends, the same thing. Now, we got a couple of friends. We know they're just nothing but bad wagoners. All of a sudden, they come out with these teams that they've always liked. And it's like, come on, man. Please, who you fooling? you didn't like that team. And, you know, being that we're from Orlando, I don't like Homer guy either. You know what I'm saying? I don't like Homer guy either, Luke. Yeah, Homer guy is, oh, wherever you live, you got to root for that team. No, you don't. Who makes these rules? I could move all the way to upper part of the country in Alaska. I'm going to root for the Miami Hurricanes, okay? I can move to California. It's going to be the Miami Hurricanes. I moved to Virginia for a little bit. Miami Hurricanes, okay? I'm not going to change up based on where I go. But at the same time, I'm also not going to give a pass where there needs not to be a pass. Yes, I'm not. If it's bad drafting, bad recruiting, I'm not going to tell you my team's going to win the championship. I'm not that guy. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the one thing. That's the one thing I can't stand the most, and that goes with anything in life, and that's blind loyalty. I can't stand. That's the thing I 100% despise the most. Doesn't matter if it's in sports, whether it's, you know, TV shows, you know, buying cars for a specific company, is just blind loyalty. Like, no matter what you guys do wrong, you're still all right. No. I'm not rolling like that. You make a you make the messed up product, guess what? I'm not going to deal with you again. As long as you keep making good stuff, then you'll continuously get my service. But when you start making like stupid things and continuously keep doing it purposely, like, yeah, I'm not running with you guys no more. I'm not running with you, none of y'all.
You know what?
But that's the same situation that was going on with the interview with Tom Brady and what's his name again?
Gray.
Yeah, Jim Gray. You hear, no matter what was being said during that interview, you hear all the fans in the background just continuously cheering. No bulls or nothing. No one out there saying, "Come on, tell the truth. Just say something." Everybody just blindly cheering. Yeah, all right. Bunch of stupid idiots.
You know, I got to change what I just said, because I said I hated the bandwagon guy more. No, you're right, Lou. I don't like blind loyalty guy. I think you're 100% right. I think that is the worst guy. It's blind loyalty guy, because he's an idiot. He'll sit up here knowing good and well his team is garbage and tell you he's going to go to the championship every year. No, he's not. They're not going to make it. Okay? Not going to happen. Your team is garbage. Okay? I don't care how much you love them. They're trash. My teams, I'm not going to lie to you. My teams are garbage. Now, listen, this is the truth, though. This is what I do like, and this is the truth about Lou. I think Lou, out of all our friends, I think all of your teams have won championships, every last one of them. And I think you were alive to see them, right? I think you were alive. I can't remember when's the last time the Boston Bruins won the championship. I think it was recent. I'm not sure, certain of that.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. I think 2012.
See there? So it's like you've seen every one of your teams win a championship. I think next in line would be me. I've only had one team that I have seen that has not made a won a championship, and that's the Tennessee Titans. Got to the Super Bowl, had that year when it was the Houston Oilers, and they faced off against Buffalo. And, you know, they had the largest comeback in history with Warren Moon and Ernest Givens and Mike Rozier and those guys. And they end up losing. They lost to Denver soon after that. And, they gave Denver their toughest matchup. And that Denver team went to the Super Bowl. It's like we've had many opportunities. It just hasn't came through. And I doubt it's not going to come through probably for another 10, 20 years possibly. But, listen. I know they're not going to win the Super Bowl, so why would I be foolish enough to sit here and tell you they are, knowing good and damn well they're not? It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's the only team of mine that I've had that has not won a championship. And, you know, we'll just have to play it smart and play it safe in saying that. But, you know, that I'm with you, Lou. That is the most ridiculous thing that I see. The most ridiculous thing I've seen. I'm not a fan of ignorance.
Yeah.
The garbage, the garbage.
Yep. That's how it is. That's how I can't stand it in anything. In sports, like I said, sports, you know, TV, whatever, you know, especially car companies. You know, I'm a car enthusiast, and, you know, I'm more of a Honda Acura guy, and they've been making a bunch of crap for the past, like, 10 years. Like, no, I don't even want to deal with these guys no more. I won't even order parts from them no more. Now they're getting back on the ball and they're showing they have a brain in their heads. Like, okay, now I can roll with you guys again. And that's all it takes. Blind loyalty leads to failure.
It does. It absolutely does. Every time it does. Without question. Well, like we're at the tail end again here, Lou. Like we'll be catching up with these guys on Thursday, and man, we'll have more topics and more conversation to talk about, me and the man Lou Maddox, and of course I'm the magician, and we are TSL, the Sports Lounge. Why? Because we just are. We're just here to provide the truth as we see it. Yeah, I just sounded like a prophet just then, but anyway, we'll go ahead and move that further along. Then wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. Hope everybody got an opportunity to kiss their mother, love their mother if they're in their life, and provide, you know, a happy day for them and a happy weekend. It's much love to you all. Want y'all to have the best of the weekend. Watch whatever you're going to watch, Game of Thrones, Good Wife, whatever it is you watch. Have a good time watching that for the rest of the weekend. We will catch you on Thursday once again. Action packed, still for action. I'm your host, Marlon the Magician, and, of course, the man Lou Maddox co-hosting. My man, you know, wish y'all good, beautiful music. Peace.